We're going to, we've got about 50 of the male gender in this congregation locked up someplace this weekend, which that's a good thing, actually. Keeps them out of trouble. They might actually be helpful, too. But I'm going to take time today to tell you why we do the prayers that we do and what that really means. So let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to the picture of how we carry your message and we carry your presence into people's lives. I ask that you give me clarity of thought up here as I put this together on the fly. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to shorten it a bit today. God is a God of grace. And he delivers us from sin. But he is also a God of order as well. And the reason that Jesus came and died for you and me was to restore order in terms of God's law in this universe and in this world. God is a God of order. And we are all dead in our sin, literally dead eternally, without the saving grace of God. And that order cannot be violated without judgment taking place in terms of our lives. A person cannot jump off the top of a building and expect to be unharmed. The law of gravity will bring a person into judgment. There is judgment in this world because God is a God of order. One of the things that I know is if you look at both the Old and the New Testaments, you're going to notice something about God's order and grace as he shows us to himself to us. But in the Old and New Testament, physical fire is actually a representation of the truth of God or the judgment of God or the revelation of God. The fire of God is the fire that reveals truth about us and to us, our relationships, our principles for living, our integrity, our strengths, our weaknesses. The fire of God burns, it purifies, it refines us. The fire of God consumes things and people. The fire of God burns up that which has no eternal substance in our lives. It refines us, which is that which is really eternal in our lives. The fire of God brings us to moments of truth when we find out what we're really made of. God's intent in our lives is to refine us and purify us so that we will build our lives of durable, eternal materials. God's fire is applied to our lives in life situations and circumstances and events. And a lot of times it will burn things off of us that are not really worthy or not eternally significant. And sometimes he doesn't just apply that fire to our lives, but he actually places that fire in our hands, where we have to make decisions that are eternally significant for ourselves or for other people. And today I want to show you a picture of how God puts his fire in our hands, and we walk a line between the living and the dead, and we become agents of life in the midst of God's judgment in terms of life situations and circumstances with people. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus carries the fire of God in their hands, and we literally stand between the living and the dead, and we are the line between life and death. And I want to show you what I mean by this. The first picture we need to understand is that anyone who names the name of Jesus as Savior and are in that process of making him Lord of their life carries in them the fragrance of life. And our very presence in prayers in any given situation or circumstance can be the difference between life and death, both physical and spiritual at times. Our prayers are like the fragrance of a burning incense. Read with me Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, which you have in your bulletin. Here we go. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, I want you to notice that these bowls are full of burning incense, which are the prayers of the saints, the prayers of God's people. Those are our prayers. It says the same thing in Revelation 8:4. Read with me that one. Here we go. And the smoke of the incense rose with the prayers of the saints from the hand of the angel before God. Once again, you see right here that we have a picture of our prayers being like burning incense lighted by the fire of God. Now, I want you to look at Numbers chapter 16, verses 41 to 50. And this is a physical picture of a spiritual truth here that I want you to see. Now, I'm going to read verses 41 down to 47. At 47, I would like you to join with me in reading it. So I'm going to read it. But on the morrow, all the congregation of people of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." And when the congregation had assembled against Moses and against Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord said to Moses, "Get away from the midst of this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer, and put fire therein from off the altar and lay incense on it, and carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone forth from the Lord, the plague has begun." Now, if you'll join with me at verse 47. So here we go. So Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Now those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who had died in the affair of Korah. And Aaron turned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting when the plague was stopped. Now if you look at verse 48, it says, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped." This scripture here involves the death of a group of about 15,000 people in the midst of 2 million people. Disease was sweeping the tribes of Israel, and it was God's judgment, and a line was drawn by one man with an incense pot. Literally, a fire line was drawn, and wherever he went, the plague was stopped. And there's a picture here in this scripture of our role as ministers of God's grace. Our ministry many times draws a line between life and death in people's lives because of two things: our prayers and our presence. I say it a lot that 90% of life is just showing up. But I think sometimes the other 10% might be the prayers that go with that 90%. There is a picture here in this story about the power of God's people as intercessors on behalf of others by our presence and our prayers. Let me tell you a story behind this incident and show you through this story how we function. This is the happening of a third confrontation that took place. It's really dangerous to the people of Israel. Earlier, Dathan and Korah are leading a rebellion against Moses. And they say that Moses is holding the reins of authority to gratify his own lust for power, etc., etc. And they confront him and they said, "We're all God's people. You are no more important than the rest of us, and you don't have any right to be in charge." Basically, that's what they were doing. And the question is one of authority, who's in charge? Now, Moses could have responded with, "Hey, now, wait a minute. Who do you think you are? Thanks a lot for all I've done for you, and I got you out of Egypt and all that." But the Bible says he fell on his face at that point. In other words, he didn't defend himself. He appealed to a higher court. And these rebels still insist on their claims, and they press the point, and they essentially said, "We're not going to let you off easy, Moses. There is no mercy in us." And Moses steps forward at this time, and this is what he says to these people. He says, "I didn't ask for this job of leadership, but God has put me in charge. There's nothing I seek for my own benefit here, but the question here has to do with authority, who's in charge and who's God's leader." And then he says, "Let's find out. God will demonstrate who is leader of this group of people." At that point, the Lord became Moses' shield and defender. And I found out a long time ago, you better not mess with anybody who might be doing God's work, because you may be on the wrong side of them, and God too. And he tells Moses, God speaks, he said, "Get away from those people." And they all move away from it. About 250 people right in the middle. And Moses says a strange thing. I say, if you're asking God for a miracle or a sign, make it hard on God and easy on yourself. If they die, Moses says, "If they die a natural death, then I'm not God's appointed leader. But if the ground opens up under them and swallows them, then I'm the appointed leader." Guess what happened? Oof. I don't know about you, but those are fair terms. "Well, the ground opens up, they go down into the earth." But I'm here to tell you, they're slow to pick up on this. A couple of things about God's judgment that can be seen. God is not vindictive. He does not act on a whim. He doesn't throw a tantrum. He's a God of order. And retribution comes in response to their intentional violation of known boundaries and who is in authority at this particular time. God is a God of order. And that order is spiritual as well as physical in nature. So these people got plenty of warning. Well, the first incident happened, then within 24 hours, they're back at it on Moses and Aaron, and they say, "It's your fault there, Dad. This is grumbling people here in the wilderness. They're griping all the time." And let me tell you something about people who gripe or grumble all the time or murmur. They're people that are out really in the wilderness spiritually. They've forgotten about their deliverance from sin and bondage. They have forgotten what God has done for them, and all they want to do is bellyache. They are murmuring. And you know, murmuring is so unoriginal. It doesn't take any brains to think up something to complain about, because we can all do it. There's always something to complain about. In fact, the word murmur is very unoriginal. If you think about it, it can't even be a different sound in the second symbol. Murmur. Well, the second accusation comes against Moses and Aaron within 24 hours, and God says, "Stand back." And you guys stand back, and anybody that has half a brain about them, you're going to take care of the whole bunch right now. Now, Aaron and Moses could have responded, you know, "Go get them, God. Nuke the whole bunch of them as far as we care. We could have a nice outside barbecue here." They've had their opportunities, but they don't do this. I think it was a test for Moses in some ways, as well as God's judgment taking place. And the test was about Moses, how he was going to respond to God's order here, and he responded with grace. You see, he could have backed up and said, "Go get him," but he doesn't. And he decides to work for them. And in this situation, Moses and Aaron represent that grace. And Moses turns to Aaron and he says, here, you go get a censer, get the fire of God off the altar, get some incense and put it in that pot. And the censer was this little pot that would hold fire and it was on a chain. You may have seen it in some rituals in the Roman Catholic Church or something like that. But that's where that comes from. And here's Moses and Aaron, and the reason that Aaron is able to run through the camp with that censer, which holds the fire of God from the altar and the incense, and somehow when he crosses that line, everything stops. And he draws a line between life and death. Today I want to talk to you about that particular scene. Aaron is the man who is running through the congregation of Israel with the censer and the incense coming up. And we read about that in Revelation, that our prayers are like the incense that comes out of that. I want to make a Moses out of you today, you might say. We've got a group of men, about 30 men down in Taylorville right now, who are really functioning in the picture of Aaron. They are the ones who are running among those prisoners down there. You've got a group of men and boys over here, and the team are actually kind of like Aaron in this picture. They're the ones that are running the fire line, you might say. They're the ones that are drawing the line between death and life. And I want to make a Moses out of you today. I want you to be the one who prays for the people. Moses said, you go quickly out among the people and take that fire off the altar. And that was where they offered burnt offerings for sin. And he goes and he runs among those people. And I think that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be the ones who are the prayers as they go into the presence of these people. You know, I was down there in the prison for 2 days, and last night I had a guy come up to me, and he was a basket case, but he was also really touched by the Spirit of God. And he wanted me to pray for him. And he was a man who as a lot of them are, had addiction to drugs, and it got him into trouble and got him into prison. And he was there, and he was married, and he had 2 kids, and he was a picture of death, you might say. He wanted me to pray for him. And this guy, he's from Mattoon, so he's right from around here. And I prayed for him, but we literally were carrying the prayers of God into the presence of that man and the rest of them down there. And we were walking that line between life and death with these men. The same thing is going on over here with this Boys Awakening. You know, the boys that are here for this weekend, we may be drawing the line in their life, literally, between life and death down the road by what we do. And what we do here is I want to make a Moses out of you, because Moses was back there at the tent of meeting, so to speak, and this is our tent of meeting right here, and he was the one who was praying for them as Aaron went with them. We live in a world that is dying. I don't know if you realize how much decay and disease there is. But death is all around us in people's lives, whether it's a hospital room or you know how a smell from a dead animal in the yard or maybe roadkill on a highway is? Well, there is an unpleasant smell that goes with that kind of death, physical death, if you've ever been around a loved one or if you happen to be a nurse. You know what we do in those situations? We rise above the smell, so to speak. We enter into a life situation, and we do it with care. Well, we are the people of God. We are basically the ones who stand between life and death. And for the love of the Lord Jesus, we do this. And that fragrance that we bring is life. I would like for you to read with me 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 16. But thanks be to God who is in Christ, always leads us to triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ of God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? We are the fragrance of life in dead situations. Moses speaks the word. Aaron carries those prayers into her. He's the physical presence that walks the line. Moses is the one who is lifting his heart up in prayer. Now, this picture in Numbers is a picture of our priestly ministry. It doesn't take any real great spiritual discernment just to look around and see the increased decay that is in our society and people's lives in terms of tragedy and hurt and suffering and sorrow and sin and literally the death of society that is all around us. And we live in Illinois. We don't live in New York City. We don't live in San Francisco. And I talked to a guy at a wedding not long ago who lives in San Francisco, and he says, it's unbelievable out there. We could sit around in our Ericssons and make observations and judgments and be indignant and say, well, I know it's bad, but I've been saved and I'm okay. And this world is just getting what it deserves, and that's, in fact, that may be the truth. Or we can be like Moses and have a heart towards God that recognizes his order, which brings judgment, but also recognizes that Jesus and his grace can draw a line between death and life in people's lives. And we can pour the incense of our prayers over the fire of God and get up and move. We're going to pray for these men in prison. We're going to pray for the people who really are kind of like Aaron down there, the team. We're going to pray for this boy's awakening by name. And then we're going to pray for the team, which is really functioning like Aaron did in the context of the awakening over there. We'll start with the prison. So let's pray. And if you just respond by saying, come, Holy Spirit. These names that I read are real men. I know the name of the guy that I sat with last night, and I said, oh, my God. If there can be new life here, Lord, please work it. I know that name, and I will read that name amongst them. So let's pray. Lord, we bring the men who are in prison down there. The society has judged them for what they have done. And it's not our purpose to be their judges except as part of society. But, Lord, we also ask that you would send forth your grace upon them, that you would bring life where death is, that you would bring health where sickness lies in terms of our spirits. We pray for these men by name. Ryan Morrell, Jacob Austin, Jansen Jeffries, Robert Gage, Michael Edwards, Jason Jennings, Randall Wiedner, Gerald Settlemeyer, James Zace, Kurt Nesnick, Travis Landreth, Josh Blankenship, Stephen Angel, Bob Keb, Melvin Riggs, Marcel Jacobs, Charles McCammon, Stephen Vogel, Eduardo Patino, Ronald Hansen, Bruce Pasley, Paul Tart, Owen Bates, Edgar Otero, Musanje Tulumi, Greg Jefferson, Jerry Knighton, Sandovito Perkins. Lord, we pray for those men who have gone and they're like Aaron, who carry the incense of our prayers and walk the line in that prison, and they serve as team members. Jeff Byers, Doug Davidson, Steve Smith, Mark Roof, Larry Stenger, Dan Rennert, Chris Nazarian, David Blessed, Jack Pitzer, Chuck LeMans, Steve Holden, Jeff Rickman, Brent Pilger, Mark Loffrey, Kenny Duggar, Ben Austin, John Mortland Sr., Perry Sneerly, J.C. Cole, John Rogers, Tim Viewig, Gary Parker, John Curry, Rick Hayes, Rob Byers, Steve Woods, Wayne Dowalter, Ron Duff, Mike Reynolds, Chris Hughes, Ron Hanks. Lord, we lift all these men up to you, and we ask that you would intercede in their lives to bring life where death is, to save them from the disease and the decay of this society and their own sinful nature. We ask that all in Jesus' name. We also pray, Lord, for these boys awakening, those young men who you have brought out of their lives right now to sit them down. We ask that you would give them life, not death in this life. And we ask that you would speak to them on their hearts and talk to them about their life and who they are as your people. We pray for them by name. Yolandrius Perry, Aiden Bullock, Aiden Hunt, Ashton Nielsen, Kobe Crafton, Ian Calhoun, Hayden Martinich, Hunter Wolpert, Lane Davis, Jacob Davis, Matthew Skevington, Walker Brown, Logan Brown, Sebastian Chalowa, Eric Tricky, Jaquan Jones, Jake Rhodes, Dakota Meloser, Braden Weaver, Jacob Melton, Colin Miller, Patrick Miller, James Kamaj. We also pray for those who are serving his team. They are like Aaron carrying the incense of our prayers and bringing life where death might be, and stopping the decay that is in our society. Lord, we pray for them as they serve as your people. Derek Schnitzer, Donnie Sisko, Michael Peer, Mark Gadberry, Marshall Brown, Cody Carlson, Ryan Beckenstead, Gary Robinson, Brian Lockwood, Joel Cawthorn, Brendan Cazell, Jason Peeler, John Mortland Senior, Jr., Jonathan Downing, Andrew Niebrugge, Andrew Newsom, Bobby Carlson, Brendan Lockwood, Jason Peeler Jr., Jacob Garrett, Sejal Grimes, Tristan Keller, Clint Walters, Nick Adkins, Austin Fike, Keith Messmore, Brandon Payne, Jerry Jones, John Snowden, Avery Newsom, Justin Beckenstead, Rick Dory. Lord, we bring all these people to you in our prayers today. May we be like Moses by the tent of meeting as we pray for those who carry these prayers into the life. May the death of this society be stopped in these areas and in these people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let us close our worship today with Amazing Grace, right?